Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today, Landon Rohrer continues our sermon series with Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 25. That through Jesus, God gives us a new heart, secure hope, and direct access to God's presence. Jesus calls us to live by faith and be known by His love. Let's hear today's message.
Good morning. For those of you who may not know me, or for those of you worshiping online for the first time, my name is Landon Rohrer, and I am the director of Next Generation Ministries here at First Pres Mommy. It is a privilege, it is a pleasure to worship with you, it is an honor to preach to you, and I'd like to share with you today that I am particularly grateful for your worship. In the first service, in the first service, I just was not prepared to draw near to God. And the songs that we sang, I teared up and I couldn't sing. Our children led us in worship for a moment, and I was so grateful that a child could lead me to God when I couldn't draw near myself. And all of that to say that preparing this sermon has been very difficult. Not because the text was particularly difficult, but because the circumstances of my life have just been challenging. It's been a hard 2 weeks, and this sermon has taken just about everything I've had. I've been so busy that throughout the week I struggled to draw near to God, and even today on Sunday morning, in the presence of Jesus's body, the church, I've struggled to draw near to Him. So when I say that I'm grateful for your worship, know that I mean it. I'm grateful because I have very little to offer myself, and I don't share that I've had a tough go of it for your pity. I don't share that I've had a tough go of it so that you'll be gentle on me after the sermon and say, good job. I share that with you because today I need you so that I can worship the Lord. And if we're honest, we each need each other every day so that we can worship the Lord. Today's passage has made that crystal clear to me. Prior to today, I had hoped to teach the whole passage. And I had a good mentor tell me, you know, sometimes that might be, you might have too much to say. And so just know that the sermon could have been about double the length. All of this to get to this point. Have you ever shown up to church like I have today? Have you shown up so tired, defeated, depressed, forgotten, betrayed, hurt, that you just don't have anything to give? Or have you felt like I have and had a week, a month, or an even longer season to the point that you didn't come to church at all? If that's ever been you, know that there is hope, and our hope is found in Christ. And He draws us to Him, and He draws us to one another. So I hope that you will be encouraged as I was as we look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Now, if you look at the very first word of Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25, you'll notice a very familiar word. The word is therefore. And as Pastor Clint says, what is the therefore therefore? I wanted to spend a lot of time unpacking this, and I don't have the time or the energy to do that today. So I'll make it brief. Back in chapter 7, we began a long discourse on who Jesus is and what He's done, about how He's ushered us out of the old covenant and into the new covenant, about how He's made a way for us for God where there was no way, and about how we may now draw boldly and confidently to the throne of grace. That, therefore, can be culminated in a real short phrase, and the phrase would be this: Jesus Christ, our High Priest, has made a way for you where there was no way before. He made that way through the payment of His blood and His life, and you may now draw near to God. This is the good news of the gospel, and because of this, the author of Hebrews says we have two things found in verses 19 and 20. In verse 19, we see that we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies. And if you are unfamiliar with that phrase, in the ancient Hebrew temple, the Holy of Holies was the most inner sacred room. It is where the presence of God was said to dwell with the people. And it was separated from the people by a thick, heavy curtain. And so no one could enter the Holy of Holies except on very, very rare special occasions. And now we have confidence to enter that place. We also have a great high priest over the house of the Lord, to which we belong because we are Christ's adopted children. Verse 20 tells us that Jesus has made a way through the curtain. When Jesus Christ was on the cross and made payment for your sin and for my sin and for the sin of the world, he cried out and breathed his last and he died. And when he died, Mark gives us this account from Mark 15:38. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When Christ made payment for sin, that thing which separated us from God, which was sin, represented by that curtain, fell to the ground, and we had full access to the Father. This is the question, is how do we draw near to him? What do we do? I would suggest that in every way we draw near to God, we worship him. The real question is, what do you do when you have a day like I'm having? What do you do when you just can't worship the Lord? What do you do when you don't have the energy, when you don't have the hope, when you don't have whatever it is you need to draw near to God because he feels distant? I don't think that God is distant from us, but for some reason we feel distant from him. It says something about us, not about him. And I'll tell you what the scripture suggests we do. It suggests that we worship alongside one another. That the same way that I need you to worship the Lord today, we need each other to worship the Lord every day. And we see that in three exhortations which are given in this passage. It's the three let us verses. And an exhortation is a fancy way of saying encouragement, gentle instruction. Now, before we turn to those exhortations, I'd like to share with you a common practice in our Reformed tradition. We believe that Scripture interprets itself. And by that, what I mean is that the hard parts of Scripture, the parts that you really just can't make sense of, perhaps these seven verses, sometimes it's better to understand them in light of other Scripture. We use parts that are easy to understand to illuminate the parts that are harder to understand. Pastor Clint, Pastor Jason, and myself, I think we've all given great effort to studying the Bible, to studying resources, to reading commentaries, and I genuinely believe that you can trust us. But don't trust us. Trust the Bible. Trust the Word of God. That's what it means that Scripture interprets itself. And so, as we consider these three exhortations, let's consider them in light of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. This is a passage I think that is very familiar to you. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You'll see that the three exhortations we're given are faith, hope, and love in that order. And if I may be so bold, I think the author of Hebrews left the best for last. I think that the final exhortation might be the greatest. So, let us turn to verse 22. The first exhortation. Let us draw near to the Father with a true heart and full assurance of faith. This is the faith of faith, hope, and love. How do you draw near to the Lord? The curtain has been torn in two, but what do? How do you worship? We come to church, we read scripture, we sing. We do good deeds, we love people, which we'll see in a few moments. But do you truly draw near to him? Ask yourself, do you trust the Lord with your time and your money and your life? Do you trust the Lord with the life of another? Do you draw near to him and have that kind of assurance? Are you 100% positive that what God has said he will do, he will do? That's what we're called to draw near to the Lord with. Let me put it to you more practically. When you have 8 hours worth of work to do in a 4-hour work day, which is where I found myself on Tuesday, what do? I work in a church. It should be easy for me to draw near to God, right? And oftentimes in my work, I do. I feel encouraged, supported, blessed by the Holy Spirit, blessed by the people that come in and say hello to me, who take me away from that work and remind me that the people of this church matter more than what's on my desk. But this week, I just could not draw near to the Lord in that work. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. So what do we do? What do you do when that happens? The author tells us that to worship God, we need Christ and we need each other. This true heart, I wish I could say more about this, but we just don't have time. This true heart is a gift from God. Ezekiel 36:26. Again, another well-known passage. The Lord says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You don't go and clean your heart up. The Lord takes it and gives you a brand new one. If you are to draw near with a true heart, it comes from God. We need him. And we're to draw near with assurance and faith. This faith does not come from ourselves. It is a gift of God. So we can't credit ourselves with that either. So what do you do when you don't have this heart, you don't have this faith? You're going to have to rely on those around you that God gives you. You're going to need to rely on Christ and his body, the church. We can draw near to Christ because God has made a way for us. Oh, sorry, flip that. We can draw near to God because Christ has made a way for us. He's torn down the wall of hostility. The curtain has fallen. This is the question that the author of Hebrews is really driving home, at least the one that I feel convicted about. What good is it to be right with God and yet not be with God? Do you know that you have been pardoned from your sin because of the life of Christ, which is what we shared in the confession of sin and the assurance of pardon? That's true. But has that changed your life? Do you draw near to God and have faith? It's not a matter of how hard you're working. It's a matter of how intimate you are with Jesus, because this faith does not come from yourself. This is why we have to gather at church every Sunday, not because it makes us good Christians, not because we can check off a box, but because we need each other. Apart from each other, apart from the body of Christ, we just can't worship on our own. I know that if I wasn't here this morning, I would not have been able to worship if it had not been for you and our church. While that might be particularly true for me today, it's true every day. Then we can move to the second exhortation, which builds on the first. The second is in verse 23. Here we are called to hold fast to the hope that we profess. It's interesting that the author chose to use the word hope instead of faith. Don't you think they would encourage us to hold fast to our faith, to this absolute confidence in God? Why would we hold fast to hope, which seems a little bit shakier? Well, I asked those questions and I had to read some books, and some people smarter than me made something abundantly clear. Modern hope is rooted in the future. You hope you're going to win the lottery, and that's great. I hope you do too, and you call me. But it's in the future. Biblical hope is different. Biblical hope is born of faith, and it's in the present tense. So biblical hope in the lottery would be to spend the money like you already won it, and don't do that. That'd end up poorly for you. I think a more personal example of this I can share about my family. So if you don't know, my wife Alyssa is pregnant with our second child. She's due in November, and we don't know the gender, so don't ask, because we don't know. But on Friday, we went to the anatomy scan, and that's the one where they make sure you have 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 ears and 2 nose, or 2 eyes and a nose, and they make sure you're right, you're healthy. And at the end of that appointment, the doctor handed us some ultrasound photos. And he handed them to me, and I thought, man, I sure hope our baby's healthy. And they are. And I can't wait to hold my baby in 20 weeks. I'm so excited. And then they handed the photos to my wife. And my wife wasn't hopeful for the baby that would be born in the future. She was hopeful for the baby that was growing in her stomach right now. Her faith was in the present tense. That's why when my wife prays at night with our daughter Eloise, she prays that the Lord would continue to bless the relationship that Eloise has with their sibling. Not the one that she will have, but the one that she has. My wife understands what biblical hope looks like because she's grabbing hold of it right now. And I and all of us could learn something for her from that. The same is true of our hope in Jesus. Our hope for Jesus isn't a possibility that he will save us. Our hope in Jesus is that he has already saved us. Jesus has already saved you. So what does this have to do with worshiping then? I'll tell you. Isn't it easy to let go of this hope? Isn't it easy to forget that Jesus has saved you and to fall back into the old covenant and to try to earn your salvation? I know for me at least, it's very easy. And the only way I thought I could illustrate this is like a game of tug of war, which I hope you all have played. I know it's an old game, but it's a good game. If you play tug of war by yourself and you let go, what happens? You'll lose. And do you have any hope of picking that rope back up and getting back in the game? No, it's over. But if you were playing tug of war with a team, and you fell down and you let go, if you faltered, if you doubted, your team could hold the line and give you enough time to get up and grab a hold of the rope again. Your team might even pick you up and put you back on the rope because you need the rope and they need you. That's why we worship together, so that we can hold on to our faith together, because it's easy to let go. If you've shown up to church like I've shown up today, where it's easy to let go, we can help each other hold on. If I was in college and had the week that I had the past 2 weeks, I wouldn't have come to church. I would have slept in because I needed it. At least that's what I thought. I realize now that what I really need is to worship the Lord. That's what you need too. It's what we all need, and we need to worship together. And this illustration of tug of war, I think, takes us pretty clearly to our third exhortation. This is the love of faith, hope, and love. And it's verse 24. We are called to consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. And I'd like to pause just for a second and show you that all three of these exhortations say, let us. They don't say, let you, or they don't say, you shall. They say, let us. They're things we do together. So let us spur one another on. Have any of you ever actually seen a spur on the back of a boot, the little pokey wheel on a cowboy boot? They hurt. People, they kick animals with them and they get them to go where they want them to go. It doesn't feel good. But this word in the Hebrew sense carries with it a positive meaning. It means to stimulate, to encourage, to provoke in a good way. So when I can't worship God, when I show up and I'm too tired, you can spur me on. And when you can't worship the Lord, you can show up to church and the church can spur you on. And I would add that worship isn't just what we do on Sunday mornings. It certainly is part of it, but it's not all that we do. We're called to spur one another on to love and good deeds. That is our worship. And you can love people and you can do good deeds outside of these walls. And this gets to why I think that the third exhortation, the one to love, might be the greatest. Yesterday, some members of our church, our families and children, we went to Swan Creek, Ohio Living, and we volunteered and spent some time with residents there. We cared for them, we cleaned up some trash, we played board games. I found out that our kids are surprisingly good at Scrabble. You wouldn't expect that. They all have spell check, so it's like, how do they know how to spell? And we just spent time loving people. We saw people who are often forgotten and left behind, and we cared for them. We treated them with the respect and the dignity that they deserve, and we loved them. And we didn't do it because we're good people or so we could get a pat on the back. We did it as an act of worship to the Lord. The Lord spurred us on to love them, and so we did. Love and good deeds are linked. They require action. You can't just say you love someone. You actually have to do it. When God tells us he loves us, you can trust that he does because he sent Christ to die on the cross for you. What more could you ask for? All of that to share that this summer of service, that's what we did yesterday. It was our second day in our summer of service. We're asking the kids to memorize John 13, 34 through 35, which says this: "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We're asking them to remember this because we want them to understand that they can love people and that they're commanded to do it, and that when they do it, people will see them and know that they belong to Christ. This loving of others is an act of public worship. And when you worship publicly, two things happen to those outside of the church, to the people who aren't with us today. The first is that they see you and they notice something different about you. They realize, why are they loving like this? Why are they sacrificing like this? And we know the answer. It's because we belong to God. But something else happens. They get to witness Christ's love for the world in action. Your loving of other people shows other people how much Christ loves them. E.M. Bounds is a theologian who has since passed, but he's a famous author, and he's written 8 books on prayer, which is wild. I don't think I could write a chapter. But he had this to say. He says that Christians are the Bible that sinners read. When you're out in the world loving others like Christ loves them, people see that, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, can speak to them. Your act of public worship, which draws each other to Christ, can actually draw those outside of the church to Christ too. I shared the summer of service memory verse because I think it's proof positive that when we love others, we are answering our call to the Lord, and others will know that we are disciples of Christ. And they too might become disciples of Christ. At the end of our service today, we're going to recite that verse during our charge. And I'd like to challenge you to try to memorize it along with our children and families. We have a challenge going on that you can learn more about at the activity table. All of that to say that I think that love is the greatest of these 3 exhortations because faith and hope help us care for each other, the body of Christ. But love not only cares for those inside the church, it cares for those outside the church, and it draws them in. This is why we must continue to gather together, not just on Sundays, but every day. And this is why we must worship together every day. We worship most fully when we are together, in communion, in fellowship. This is why we must not give up meeting together, as verse 25 tells us. Apparently, the recipients of this letter in the early church had just as much a problem of people not coming to church as we do today. It's a problem that's persisted for thousands of years because we forget why we go to church. We come to church to worship the Lord and to be encouraged by one another. If I could tell my young college self to not sleep in so many Sundays and go to church instead, I would. I don't need to go and prove I'm a Christian. I need to go and worship the Lord, to be satisfied in the one thing that can satisfy my heart, which is Jesus, who, as we saw in verse 22, gave us our heart. I'd like to close by asking you just a few questions. Can you worship God alone? I think the answer is yes. You can worship God driving in your car, in the early morning over coffee, late at night before bed, while you're changing a screaming baby's diaper, while you're begging for patience, while you're deep into the throes of a fight with your spouse, while you're grieving the loss of someone that you don't know how to live without, you can worship the Lord alone. But it's hard. It's so hard. And so we should worship together on Sunday morning and every day. When you draw near to the Lord with other people, they'll help you draw near when you're too tired. When you try to hold on to the faith and you let go, they'll hold on when you're too weak. And when you need spurring on because you lack the enthusiasm, the encouragement, or whatever else it is, they'll spur you on so that you can worship the Lord. What do you do after a week like I've had and you just show up on Sunday empty-handed and you can't worship? You give what little you have and you stand in the midst of those who worship the Lord so that you might be encouraged to do the same. Would you pray with me? Father, you are good. You promise us that you will give us the desires of our heart. Not only that, Lord, but that you have given us a new heart. And we confess that we are a tired and irritable and bitter people. Lord, we are so quick to turn away from you. It is so easy for us to forget our faith, to let go of our hope. And we do. Lord, when we do, would you grab hold of us? Would you support us? Would you send your body, the church, to care for us? Would you help us? Would you remind us that you have made a way for us where there was no way? And would you help us to walk that way? Would you be not only the God that we want you to be, Lord, but be the God we need you to be, which is the God that you are? You have done more than we could ever ask. Would we respond by worshiping you and knowing you and giving you our life? And when we can't, Lord, would you pick us up and support us and encourage us and send your people to care for us? Lord, break our heart for what breaks yours so that we might love those that you love the way that you love them. That way we might be a witness to the world of your love for the world. Be with us, Lord, as we worship today. May it be glorifying. May it be glorifying to you. It's in your Son's name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.